Hey guys, thank you for last weekend. Just receiving my pastor, Pastor Dobie and his wife Jamie. I appreciate that. It's just an honor to have them, and I appreciate your heart in receiving him. I know as they left, they love being with you, and I'm thankful that we can pull away and we can have conversation, and he could say, "Man, just what a blessing you are." And so, thank you for that. If you missed being here with us last weekend, I know on our podcast we have the audio from last weekend when he was here and said some unique things for us as a church in our fifth year. You know, just as we're celebrating 5 years as a church and the things that God's asking us to do, there's a real mandate on us as a church. And this isn't a mandate on leadership. This is a mandate on a community to do the things that God's called us to do. And you play a role in that. You have to see that you play a role in that. And as we move forward as disciples and followers of Jesus, there is a very unique thing that God wants us to do. And the question isn't how or even when. The question is who? Who? Who's going to step up? Who's going to step up and say, this is what God's called us to do? And I love the God ideas that come out of people. And I love that. That's the reason I ask the question all the time. When people say, hey, what's the church called to do? I'll say, I don't know. What's God ask you to do? What does God ask you to do? We want to be a part of that. And so the ideas that happen around Life Community aren't because 5 or 10 people sit in a room and say, hey, what are cool things we can do in 2016? It's because people like you have come in and said, hey, I have an idea. It's because of people like David Winchy who stepped up and said, we need a Rangers program. Wasn't my idea, wasn't our leader's idea, it was volunteers who stepped up and said, hey, we need to do this, or we need to go downtown St. Louis and serve, or we need to add this, or whatever it is. And so it's you that make the church what it is. And really the emphasis then is, I have nothing to complain about if all I see is the problems and not the solution. I think you remove the right to complain when you don't bring solution. Because anybody in this room can complain. Come on, somebody. Don't fall asleep on me now that you got the gift. Come on. Or some of you did. Some of you are mad at me right now. Right? Don't complain. That's easy to do. How am I a solution? And so we're talking about being disciples and what that looks like. And so I want us to go to John 4. If you have a Bible, if you have the YouVersion app, it's there. John chapter 4, a familiar passage. You know, a couple of weeks ago, as we were creating that space and we had conversation about what that space would be called, we wanted it to be called something with significance, and so we came up with the cheesy Christian stuff, you know, like Holy Grounds or Hebrews or Jehovah Java or something like that, you know, and the cheesy names for that space. And we're sitting around a room, and Jess Andrews says, what about the well? And we just kind of looked at each other and was like, the well, it's interesting. And I went to John 4 as we started just looking at this experience that Jesus had with the woman at the well. And while there was an experience, an encounter that happened, I think the bigger scenario that happened was what Jesus was teaching his disciples. The woman was important, and I think that's a very separate thing. But what he was teaching the 12 men that day, I think was of equal value. That I think sometimes we skip over because of this emphasis of the woman at the well, because it says in verse 3 and 4, it says, so he left Judea and returned to Galilee, and he had to go through Samaria. New King James says he needed to go through Samaria. So Jesus sends the disciples away and says, guys, go get some food. I'm going to go rest by this well. And as he goes there, paraphrasing a lot of story, as he goes there, a woman comes up. Jesus says, hey, could you get me something to drink? She says, who are you that you're talking to a woman, much less a Samaritan, since you're a Jew? You can't do that. The relationships between the Samaritans and the Jewish people was tenuous at anything, at best. It was awkward. There was a lot of craziness going on. Basically, at this point, it's illegal for them to even have conversations. So the fact that Jesus is even engaging in conversation. And then it says that they get into an argument. They're arguing about whose place this is. Is it Jacob's well? Is it the Jewish place? Is it the Samaritans? The Samaritans want it to be their place. They're talking about worship, and she ends with this in verse 25, so I'll skip to there. And the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Basically, she ends the argument. She says, listen, there's a Messiah coming. When he comes, let him explain what's happening. And then Jesus makes the statement of all statements. And he said to her, I am the Messiah. Just then, his disciples came back and they were shocked to find him talking to a woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her or why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Meanwhile, disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. So many twists in this particular story. In this particular passage of what it is to be a disciple. So I just have three observations. First is this. Being a disciple means you are addressing what you otherwise would have avoided. This is what being a disciple was. It is addressing the situations that are going on in my life that otherwise I would have avoided. That's what being a disciple was. Did you hear what she said? Come meet a man who told me everything I ever did, and I'm not ticked off. For a moment, picture the scenario, the conversation, and how approachable are you and I? That when this man, Jesus, is talking to this woman, and she says something about her husband, and he says, the man you're living with isn't even your husband, and you've been married five other times, that she's not ticked off because he just read her mail. You and I hide our past. Her past is exposed. And now she's going to a village, a town that knows her reputation, and saying, come meet a man that knows everything that I ever did, and I'm okay with it. That's the miracle of John chapter 4. Because you and I never get to that point because we're so mad that you're talking about my past. A disciple is addressing the past, addressing what we usually avoid so that we can deal with it. When I sit down with couples who are about to get married and you're bringing all of this stuff into marriage, we have to address it, or in year 5 and 6 and 10 and 25, it's getting brought back up, all because we don't want to address it. All because, oh, let's not talk about it. You know, the first part of her becoming a disciple was that she was exposed. And what you and I try to do is we try to hide everything, and we've missed the best part about being a disciple. This has to be who we are as a disciple. Am I asking you to run into Columbia and tell everything that you've ever done? No, I'm not asking you to do that. But I am asking you to talk about the hard things that have happened in your life that you've been afraid to talk about, but you'll never be who God wants you to be until you talk about it. Much less be the mother, the man, the woman, the husband, or whoever it is that you are in your life until you're talking about it. Being a disciple is I need to address this, not avoid it. We have to address it. And that's not even the story. The story is addressing the 12 men. All 12 men saw Jesus talking to this woman. They walked towards something that they did not get. Jesus revealing to the woman, I am he. And guess what she sees? See, when I read John 4 now, here's what I used to think, and maybe you thought this as well. In her excitement of encountering Jesus, she drops the water pots and she runs back and tells everybody everything. I don't think that was the case. I think she dropped the water pots because she's encountering Jesus, and now 12 men walk up to something that they don't understand. And they walk up and their facial expressions, because we know that they don't have the nerve to say anything. Usually men don't. They don't have the nerve to say it, even though they were thinking something, but their facial expressions said a story. And because they walked up and their facial expressions said a story, I believe she was so afraid that she dropped her livelihood, which was the water pots, and ran back. Why? Because what she was saying is, I like what Jesus can do for me, but I don't know about his disciples. And ever since then, the world has said the same thing about you and I. I like Jesus. I like what he offers. I'll celebrate at Easter, but I just don't like his followers very much. Your facial expression gives it away. They walked up. Do you think they were smiling when they saw Jesus talking with this woman with a reputation? You think they walked up going, hey, look, Jesus is talking to a woman. Look how nice he is. They're walking up going, and who's seeing that? The woman is seeing that. And for fear of her life, she leaves and she tells everybody, not what the disciples have done. She says, "This, come meet this man. I love Jesus. I love what he does, but God, I'm afraid of his followers." Come on. This is what it is. This is what's happening. Do you think people don't come to church because Jesus isn't real? Jesus isn't love? I've never had a conversation with, well, I don't want to come to church anymore because Jesus is just so awesome and he offers me forgiveness, but I don't want to come for that. You know why they don't want to come? Because of us. Because our facial expressions have changed. And we've seen Jesus encounter someone and we're going. And we're thinking, why is Jesus doing this in their life? Why is Jesus doing this in this woman's life? You know who the first missionary was? The woman. The woman. Why? Because she encountered Jesus and she put to the side his disciples. But how many people can we expect to do that? I love what Jesus offers me. I love the encounter. I love all the things that he does. It's just his people I don't like. I saw a real bumper sticker, and I thought I can only share it on a Saturday night because they would get it. You know, like you can do different things, like the band wore shorts last night because you can on a Saturday night. Like you could do some things on Saturday night. You can have sweet tea and stuff like that. But on like Sunday, it tends to be a little more like, well, I got to be a little more traditional. You know what I mean? Like I got to wear a tie this day. It's Sunday, you know? I don't know why we do that. But I saw a bumper sticker 3 years ago, and it's real. It's real. It says real big on it, Jesus loves you. Real big. And as you get closer to the bumper sticker in real small letters, it says, but everybody else thinks you're an a-hole. That's pretty bold, pretty honest. But I think a pretty honest depiction of the way people think. The way people think about, hey, I love what Jesus offers me. I just don't like his followers. I just don't like the way I'm treated sometimes. He proved that what Jesus was doing in these disciples' lives, listen, there's going to be moments where you don't understand what Jesus is doing. And the disciples leave and they say, we're going to go get food. Jesus comes, they come back to Jesus and Jesus basically says, I'm not hungry. And the disciples are like, well, what was the point of us not being here getting lunch? How many times in our life have we gone, but God, I don't understand why I'm here. God, I don't understand what is going on in my life. This is what being a disciple is. Being a disciple means walking towards what you do not understand instead of away from it. There's going to be moments where you have to walk towards something and you don't have all the answers. And the fact that you don't have the answers means you need a savior. If you had all the answers, you don't need a savior. You have to walk towards things that you may not understand instead of away from it. But you and I like to walk away from things away from it and justify it with, surely that couldn't have been Jesus. If that's the disciples, then they're walking up, they're seeing Jesus talk to a woman, much less a Samaritan woman. And they're going, I don't understand this. And then Jesus says, hey, Jesus, we brought you lunch. You need to eat some. I'm not hungry anymore. And they're like, well, then what was the point of us not being here? And Jesus says, maybe it's to teach you that you're a sexist pig. Because that's what you are right now. The revealing of truth was that you can't handle or you don't understand the fact that you come up and something is happening that you can't explain. And Jesus is talking to a woman. And then Jesus says, but watch this, boys. Here's what I'm going to tell you. There's going to be a day in Acts 1:8 where I will pour out my spirit and you will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and where else? Oh, in Samaria too. And they're like, really, Jesus? You're making us go back there. He says, listen, I'm going to send you to the place that you're comfortable, which is Jerusalem. I'm going to send you to the place that you, it's kind of on the outside border, which is Judea. And I'm also going to send you to Samaria, the place you don't understand, the place that you don't get. And he says, you don't understand it. Listen, if there's anything in the last year of my life that I've learned is that people are watching our facial expressions. People are watching the way we respond. People are watching the way that we treat people. People are watching because they want a legit representation of who Jesus is. That's what people want. And so listen, I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm asking you to be a person that reconciles. I'm not asking you to be a person that stays away from conflict, but I am asking you to be a person that restores the problems that you and I have created. And more, and a lot of people in this room that I've had to go back to and say, I apologize for my attitude. I apologize for the things that I've said to you. I want you to know there's no excuse for the bad day that has happened and the way that I treated you. I only did that, and sometimes I'm really good at it, and sometimes I'm really bad at it. The only reason I do that is because I want them to see a representation of who Jesus is. That's what you and I have to do. I'm not asking you not to have a bad day. You're going to have bad days, and the temptation is going to be to go off on that cute little waitress who didn't get your order right. That's going to be the temptation, to let her have it, because you're feeling the pressures at home and the pressures at work, and you're going to take it out on this little girl who had nothing to do with it. And the temptation is to say what you're saying, but you're wearing a Life Community Church shirt and you're thinking about and you're looking at your bracelet that says, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you're thinking about this. I'm asking you to think about it, and I'm asking you to understand you don't represent you. You represent Jesus, and that was his point. When you 12 boys walked up, you sent her away prematurely all because of your facial expression. You didn't have to say a word, but now she's encountered me, but she just don't like you boys. And the church has declined and declined and declined, and it's not because Jesus isn't real. It's because we have not been real. And we put on a show and we put on the, well, this is how life is as a Christian. No, it's not. It's not. We've misrepresented. And he says, so here's the call. You're going to go back to those places. I'm sending you to Samaria. I think Jesus added it with emphasis. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. I think that's when he flipped one of the tables. Like, Samaria. And any other place I forgot. Because you and I go, oh, Jerusalem's good. I love my hometown. People like me there. Judea's nice. Samaria. Gosh, Samaria's Collinsville. Sorry. Oh, man. Purple makes me puke. Anyway. Sorry, I'm a Granite City guy. You got a rival. You got somebody you don't. Michigan. Come on, Michigan fans. Who's your rival? Michigan State, right? That's your Samaria, my man. Ohio State. Oh, Ohio State. Even worse. Sorry. Sorry, I'm an Indiana guy, so you all stink. I think there's so many times that we instantly draw a conclusion on what it means that God's teaching us. And I think being a disciple is expanding my limits on God's love. So I ask you a question of, are you following Jesus? I'm not asking you if you're saved. I'm not asking if you're going to heaven. I'm not asking you if your life is blessed. Those are all byproducts of that. I'm asking you, are you following Jesus? And that question really can only be answered with how I live my life. The security of my life has been bought. Jesus paid a price once and for all. He became sin for man and knew no sin, and he did that for you and I. That's been bought. The question has to come back around, am I following Jesus? And that question is answered in how I live my life. And ultimately, in how I'm expanding my limits on what God loves. God loved that woman. God loved that woman. And the call for you and I is to follow in his footsteps. Is to love people the way God loves people. And so I have to, as a disciple, as a follower of Jesus, I have to expand my limits on God's love. That God might have a plan for someone that might be in sin right now, much less lived with a man that wasn't her husband and been married 5 other times, and we've instantly discounted her and said God could never use her because of her reputation. And God says, expand that a little bit, because watch what I'm about to do. She's unashamed of me. When was the last time, disciples, you ran into your hometown and unashamedly proclaimed my name? When was the last time you did what she did? Why? Because she encountered Jesus. And he's saying it's time for you to expand it. I want that space. I want this space. I want everywhere that we go for us to walk in as a disciple and my limits to be lifted and say, you know what? God really does have a plan for this person. God really does have something that he wants to do. Jesus said, listen, when he's being questioned, who is Jesus questioned by? That man that just got healed? The man that was paralyzed and who got up and walked, did he go, I don't know that you're real or not. The guy who is blind, as Pastor Dobie talked about, blind Bartimaeus, because we put labels on people. That's what we do. That's why even the writer called him blind Bartimaeus. Even though he actually saw more of his life than he was blind, we label people that way. And that, I think, is God's point. Doubting Thomas, he believed one day. Can we stop calling him Doubting Thomas? Right? That's what we do, though. We label people, and in my labeling, just like in jokes, there's an element of truth in everything that I do. If you're a person that jokes, and you have there's an element of truth to every joke that you have. You might think it's all in fun. What it's really revealing is that you got a problem with women, or you have a problem with the other color, or you have a problem with whatever. That's what that joke is revealing. It's revealing an element of truth. And so it is in this. Jesus is looking at his disciples and going, listen, if what you want to be as a disciple is a revealer of truth, here's what I just revealed. You're not loving like me. You don't care like me. You don't have compassion like me. And when this woman came here, that's how you found out. If you would have asked those boys 15 minutes before, do you love like me? What do you think they would have said? Absolutely, Jesus, we love just like you. Well, let's prove that. Here's this woman. And they were thinking, why is he talking to this woman? Because we put limits on God's love. We falsely justify behind the shield of Jesus. Behind the shield of, well, I think that's what Jesus would do. No, he would not. No, he would not. That's why they brought the adulterous woman to him. They said, this is what we think Jesus would do. He would stone her. And what did Jesus say to her? Your sins are forgiven. Go sin no more. He wasn't afraid of not acknowledging her sin. He acknowledged she was a sinner. But he also forgave her. You and I, we would have stoned her. You and I would have discounted her. You and I, at least hopefully some of us, would have asked, where was the man? I'm assuming she wasn't having an affair with herself. Yet we're not going to talk about the man because that's what we do. Do you feel unsettled? Do you feel like there's some things happening in your life that you do not understand and you are avoiding those things? Do you feel like that? Jesus would say, welcome to discipleship. You know why Jesus wants us to a spot where we feel uncomfortable, where we feel unsettled, where there's things that we're questioning and we don't understand? Because he says, seek first my kingdom and all these things will be added. Because it always comes back to, who am I seeking? If I'm seeking my own interest, then I'm always the judge. If I'm seeking what I think should be done, then I'm always the judge. But when I remove that And I say, Jesus, what is it that you want? What is it that you want me to do? How do you want me to respond? Sometimes then Jesus comes in and says, I need you to be quiet right now. I need you to keep your mouth shut. I don't need you to say anything. I know you want to be heard. I know you think you need to be heard. I need you to shut up right now. And you go, oh, I'll just be quiet then. And when I feel the need that I have to say something, then ultimately I'm saying, I'm not really a disciple of Jesus. I am my own Messiah. And I know none of us probably in this room would stand up and go, I'm the Messiah. At least I hope not. But I think our actions show something different. And that was Jesus's point. You know what? Sometimes Jesus just sends you away to get lunch and you don't know why you're there. You're there. You think you're there because you're making more money or you think it's the job that you really want. Jesus is really just saying, actually, I just sent you away so that you could come back and I could reveal the truth of who you really are. And you're like, Jesus, I don't like that. And he says, good. I'm okay with you not liking it because I needed to reveal that you're not where you thought you were. You know what the disciples found out that day? Oh my gosh. We don't love like Jesus loves. Listen, here's an honest, bold question on Mother's Day that I think all of us need to answer. All of us in this room. No matter your age, no matter your church background, no matter where you think you are, no matter what, every single one of us needs to answer this question. What is my life saying to people? What is my facial expression saying to people? Are they running away or are they running to Jesus? Again, I'm not going to justify it. But I understand you got problems. I understand you got issues. I understand you have bad days. I understand that life has been hard for you. But can I say this? Life has been hard for a lot of people. Can I say that how long are we going to have to say that life has been hard for you before we end it and say, I think I need to change some things? How long is that going to be a crutch that you use to get through life? I'm not discounting what has happened to you. I'm not trying to be not compassionate towards you in what's happened to you. But how long are we going to use that as the excuse to not do what God has called you to do? All in the name of I've been hurt. All in the name of life is not fair. Well, I hate to tell you, but life isn't fair for a lot of people. And a lot of people have figured it out. So stop making the excuse of why you're not the disciple and the follower Jesus has called you to be and start doing something about it. And the sad thing, the scary thing is nobody's ever told you that. But come meet a man who told me everything that I've ever done and he is the Messiah. That woman should have been ticked off that day. She should have been running in town going, you don't want to meet that guy. He says some things that are real and it's freaky. Don't meet that guy and his 12 boys. They were mean. They were the worst greeters ever. Ever. How would we handle that? So yes, I know things have happened to you. Yes, I know life has been crazy. But at what point do you allow the encountering with Jesus to radically change you? To radically empower you? You know what she became that day? She became Acts 1:8. She became a witness. She became a witness. You guys, the only way that you and I become witnesses is we have to see and experience something. That woman experienced something that day that nobody could take away from her. You know there's people yelling, oh gosh, here's this prostitute. Jeez, of course she just experienced another man. I'm sure people said a lot of things. But you know what you couldn't take away from her? The conversation, the encounter that she had with Jesus at that well. Couldn't take it away. You can talk all day about her. You can say whatever you want about her. You can't take that away from her because she saw something. She witnessed something. She encountered Jesus. He said, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. You know why we're You know why we're not running into towns? And nobody's going to tell us this. You know why we're ashamed of Jesus? You know why we are? Because we've not encountered him. We've not had a witnessing experience. So we have nothing to say. And when I have nothing to say, I use my story from somebody else's story. And now that story loses value because it's not your story. And the enemy comes in and says, don't tell your story because your story is good. And so now instead of telling your story of how Jesus has encountered you, you're not running into town telling it. You're hiding it. You're ashamed of it. And Jesus says, I want to expose that. I don't want you to avoid it. I want you to talk about it. I want you to talk about what I've done in your life. And the tendency, the enemy's scheme is to keep you, to keep that shut up, to keep you not talking about it. And when you talk about it, there's an exposure that happens. And now that exposure is somebody else is going, oh my gosh, I need what she has. I need what, her story relates to me. My story is her story. And if it can happen to her, it can happen to me. As opposed to what? My God, Christians came in to eat today after church. Bad tips, rude people. But they had Joy FM on the radio and a bumper sticker, and they wore a Cool Life Community shirt. So they must be Christians, right? I think Sundays, afternoons, I think on Mother's Day, I think we should be the best tippers ever. I think we should be, well, I can't afford it. Then don't eat out. Don't eat out then. Well, she wasn't very good and I tip on that experience. Well, I'm glad you're not God. Because if he's doing that, he's going, well, I was going to tip you, but you've been a little crazy hellion, so I'm not going to do that. I love Jesus. I just don't like his followers. Guys, like this or not, it's kind of America's anthem. We can change that. We can change it in our community. We can change it in our families. We can change it wherever we go. We can change that, right? We can change that. That's what being a disciple is. That's the truth of following Jesus. God, today, God, I pray that you would help us. God, to be the representation that you've called us to be. To not talk about it. To not just wish or hope that that's what we are. But God, to actually live it out. God, I know this is why you came. This is Luke 5:31. The healthy people, they don't need a doctor. But the sick people do. You came to restore those that were broken, that were hurting, that were downtrodden. All of those people, that's why you came. And God, that's why you hung out with people who needed the great physician. That's why. And these people hung on to you. Those people longed to be around you. God, I don't get it. I don't understand it, but this was the call. You didn't come for the healthy. You came for the sick, the broken, the hurting. And God, I pray that the church, the disciples, the followers of Jesus, people that say it, people who wear the shield, people who have the label, whoever it is, people who are attending church, people who say they are a follower of Jesus, have a relationship with you. God, I pray that we would rise up in an effort to be who you called us to be, to represent Jesus well, to model and be the example that you've called us to be. Because this is how the world knows there's a Savior, by the way we love. God, would you help us to be people that love? God, in moments where we want to voice our opinion, would you shut us up? In moments where our facial expression goes to a frown because we don't like what we see and we're shocked, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would help us to be people that have compassion on our faces, that have compassion in our eyes, that are broken by the people around us and not judgmental. God, and when the moment is right and we don't have the nerve to talk up, I just pray you would put a smile on our face. God, I feel like the church hasn't smiled in a long time. God, would you restore the joy of our salvation today? God, would you create in me a clean heart and restore the right spirit within my soul? God, restore in every one of our hearts the joy of that day we encountered you. God, the encounter like this woman had at the well, God, would you restore that today? In the name of Jesus. Guys, would you stand with me today? As you do, and as we sing this song, here's my challenge to you. Look deep. Look at your heart, your own heart. Again, you're responsible for your own heart. Look at your heart and say, God, is there anything right here? Is there anything that's happening in my heart? Is there judgment in my heart or is there love? Is there compassion or is there condemnation? God, what's going on inside my heart today? God, would you reveal the truth to me today? Listen, when I'm open to the revealing of truth, truth will be revealed. When I'm blinded to it, I'll never see it. And everybody else around me, that's an epiphany moment right there. When I'm not open to it, I won't see it. And everybody else in the world around me can see that you're not seeing it. It don't matter a thing if you don't see it. You have to see it. Your wife can say it to you all day long. Your husband can say it to you all day long. You have to see it. Every 12 of those men had to see it. You got to see it today. You got to do your part. Amen.